Greetings and welcome to Flanagan's EcoLogic. I am your host, Ted Flanagan. And for this episode, we're joined by April Bulldog. She's the founder and the president of S-Curve Strategies. She's been driving an electric vehicle for over 12 years. She's passionate about EVs, had a major role promoting EVs for San Diego Gas and Electric, and then in 2017 formed S-Curve Strategies to support city and state and county electric vehicle policies and programs. Great to have her on the show today. Hey, April, welcome to the podcast. Great to see you.
Hey, great to see you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, delighted to have you and eager to talk about EVs and your role in the adoption of EVs. But tell me something, so just for the sake of the audience. Now I'm calling and you're in the San Diego area, is that right?
Yes, in the San Diego area. San Diego area, president of S-Curve Strategies, but I work in states all across the country, so it's just been great.
Great. We just happen to have the best weather right now of anybody, right?
Right, exactly.
Very good. So, well, you mentioned S-Curves. S-Curves is the company that you founded in, I think, 2017.
It is.
And how would you define its mission?
Our mission is really the fact that everyone deserves clean air, and I focus on transportation electrification. So whether that's for states, counties, electric utilities, there is just so much investment across the U.S. being placed in transportation electrification. And so, you know, now I think is the best time to actually be in this industry. Because when I first got in, people were saying, you're nuts just to focus all your energy on transportation electrification. But man, there is plenty of work to go around.
It sure is. It's just booming. It's the most incredible boom I've ever seen. For example, what were you working on this morning? Which project were you working on?
Let's see. So this morning I was actually developing a municipal transportation electrification guide for a utility, so that a utility that has a huge territory, they're getting a lot of questions from the cities and saying, the cities are saying, well, how do we electrify our fleets? How do we implement, you know, streamline permitting for EV charging stations? How do we support EV adoption to help meet our state's policy goals? And so they thought, you know, let's put together this guide and then they'll be, you know, step by step how that they can do all these things and we'll help to simplify it for them.
Boy, that's fantastic. And there's got to be an electric utility in the country has to be looking at this wave, the wave of EV, well, infrastructure and electric vehicles and just going, we need to get ahead of this. I would imagine everybody's got to get ahead of that. So you have utility clients. And we're going to talk about your career at San Diego Gas and Electric or your time there. And then it sounds like you have city and county clients and states also.
So exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So from a state perspective, the departments of transportation. So a perfect example was working with the Colorado Department of Transportation. And they wanted to look at, you know, how are we electrifying those transportation networks like Uber and Lyft? How are we helping to support them? How are we helping to support like rental car agencies? How are we helping to support other fleets like medium and heavy duty fleets? What are some of the things that we need to be doing as a state around that? And then interestingly enough, New Hampshire, for example, their economic development department, they wanted to implement, you know, they said, well, we're kind of a drive-through state when it comes to electric vehicles. And we have all these, we have amazing ski resorts. So how closely should we be spacing public charging when you're going to a ski resort? You know, interestingly enough, you want to put it closer together as you're going up the mountain. You can go farther apart as you're coming down the mountain. So all of these types of strategic ways that you have to think about transportation electrification, and whether that's just passenger vehicles or going to the use the ski resort to medium duty trucks that are making deliveries, things like that. So,
and then do you ever work for advocacy groups that are trying to influence policy, or is that?
Yeah, I actually was president of the Electric Vehicle Association until a couple of years ago, and we have about 100 chapters, and working with in each of those chapters that are in cities all across the country, and they're being asked, like, how can you help us grow the adoption of electric vehicles? What types of policies do we have in place? So around that whole advocacy space.
Everybody exactly. call April, because her head is full of best practices that she can modify and bring to your community or your city or state.
Yeah.
I remember talking to you. I remember meeting you about, I think it was about 8 months ago, meeting you and talking to you and thinking, you know, you've got the coolest job.
I do. I love it.
It sounds like it. Okay. So let's go all the way back in your life. Born and raised in the San Diego area?
Actually born in New York, but raised in San Diego. My dad was in the Air Force. We moved to Germany, but then back to San Diego. So
really San Diego is home for you.
Exactly.
I get the strong impression that you're not going anywhere.
Travel
for work and fun probably, but no, not for life.
Yeah. And I said, gosh, you know, my parents said, where do you want to go to college? I said, UC San Diego. So I did.
You did that. And you studied, you got a Bachelor of Arts. It was pretty far. Or was it?
I did in communication. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I spent kind of the first decade of my career in public relations and communications and media relations. So that was fantastic. And, you know, really prepared me, I guess, for my next step in my career, which was working for a utility and doing their media relations. So working for their parent company, Sempra Energy, and then also San Diego Gas and Electric. And I don't think anyone, you know, when you're starting out says, you know, I want to go and work for a utility. But it was actually really awesome. So, I mean, so many innovative things happen in the utility and what you're doing and how many people you're supporting with your electric grid. I mean, It's fascinating. It is fascinating.
Well, I started my career at the New York Power Authority. I've had the same.
Oh, wow. There you go.
It's this massive infrastructure and how it all works is just a miracle. But yeah, the level of support and the opportunities are great. But I want to go back. When you were a kid, did you, there probably were no EVs, right? There were no even hybrids, right? I know when I was a kid, we were critiquing the fact that we all had, you know, these huge gas guzzlers the Japanese, well, Volkswagen was pretty efficient. Then the Japanese came out with some of those early Datsuns that were very excited about because and Toyota with the fuel efficiency. But was there any indication when you were a kid that you were going to have this kind of a career or what did you think you were going to be?
Oh, I thought I was going to be one of two things, a Mountie, which was basically a police officer on horseback, or I was going to be an anchor, a television, you know, a journalist, a television anchor. So, you know, one of the two.
So at what
and here I am.
At what point then you're working for Sempra or San Diego Gas and Electric, you're in corporate communications. And then at what point did your career shift, no pun intended, but directly towards EVs?
Yeah, so we, on our media relations team, we're divided up into beats. And so we assist different departments within the utility. And one of my beats was innovation, smart grid, microgrid, smart meters, and electric vehicles. So I had all the cool technology, you know, things. And then as we saw electric vehicles, this is really going to end up being something. We were talking about rolling out EV programs. The EV team came to me and said, would you join our team full time? So I spent half of the, you know, a little more than a decade that I was at the utility. I spent half that time on the electric vehicle team. So got to roll out some of the very first EV programs in the country, which is really exciting.
We talk about those. What were some of the earliest programs you remember?
Yeah, so the very first one was an electric vehicle rate, but it was the first time of use rate. So now time of use rates are pretty standard at utilities, but we tested the first time of use rate with our EV drivers because it was a small subset, and we tested them with different rates to see really what was their, you know, how much would they withstand and how much would they shift their behavior depending on the price of these rates. And so we compared that with a utility and EV drivers on the East Coast. And we literally saw, you know, almost 100% of our EV drivers were shifting their behaviors just by providing them a low price for them to charge at night, for example, because you can program your car to charge at any time that it wants to come on. So it was easy for the driver. And if they're getting a lower rate, why would they not switch to this rate? So that was really the utility's first entree into time of use rates. And then they rolled that out across the company years later, which was really exciting.
And when did you start driving an EV?
I started driving in 2011. So as soon as they, you know, hit the roads mainstream, I just started driving one and just loved it. I have never gone back.
That's what they say. Now, was it a Nissan Leaf or what did you get in those early days?
In the early days, it was actually the BMW Active E. So there was only 700 in the company, in the country. It was a one series, two door BMW that they've converted to all electric. So it went 100 miles, which is actually more than when the first Nissan Leaf came out. So had that car for 2 years, but it was kind of like the EV1 with GM. It was mandatory that you had to give it back and all those good things. And then I, from there, went to the Fiat 500e, and have a Nissan Leaf now. So
you have a Leaf. What is the? Some of this was a conversation I was just having the other day. What is the range on the Leaf these days?
235 miles.
So it's right around the Chevy Bolt. That
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm on my second Bolt, and I love it. I can't believe it.
Oh my gosh, I do too. And everyone says, well, why don't you get a Tesla? Why don't you, you know? And I mean, the thing is just because of the role that I have in transportation electrification, I really want to show people, especially, you know, as we talk about equity and as it relates to transportation electrification, we should be focused there, that you really can get an awesome, inexpensive electric car. And it does all the things, and it, you know, has similar torque, and you know, yeah. It's great.
Well, I think it's an important message. Terry has a Tesla, so she loves. Okay. We love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the Bolt, and the Leaf. I mean, these are fantastically good vehicles that, like you say, they have all the functionality. And if you look at, you know, cost carefully, you'll realize what incredible value there are. And now, as I mean, you're tracking this. I love tracking all the new market entrants. Volkswagen and the Ford Mach-E, the Mustang, it's going crazy.
Yeah, the Hyundai. I mean, there really is a type of electric vehicle for any use case, I think. You know, any family need, business need.
Yeah. And you couldn't have said that 2 years ago. Right.
Exactly.
Just that, or maybe even a year ago. I mean, it's just that fast. Let's talk a little bit more about your time at San Diego Gas and Electric, because I think I read somewhere, maybe in your materials, that the city of San Diego, or maybe it's San Diego County, has one of the highest EV adoption rates in the country. And unquestionably, San Diego Gas and Electric, you talked about time of use rates, but what else did you and your colleagues at the utility do to accelerate the market?
Yeah, we actually did the launch of the Nissan Leaf in San Diego. So it was great to shine a spotlight in the region. We were one of the first utilities to roll out a time of use rate. So, you know, when you do think about, oh, okay, if I am sensitive to price and I don't want to, you know, go to the gas station anymore, are there programs that I can use? And that is definitely one of them. So we were really seeing a huge uptick of people participating in those rates.
So then they were putting in chargers at their places, right?
Yeah, we had a program. It was about a $45 million program to install about 3,000 charging stations. And that was in multifamily communities, workplaces for employees, and also for fleets. And it was just fantastic working with all the different customers that were interested in doing this. And then also working on the utility customer experience. So, you know, what is it going to take for a business to install charging for its employees? What is it going to take for a fleet to purchase an electric vehicle and install charging and really transition its fleet to electric? What is it going to take for a multifamily, you know, an apartment community to install charging stations there? And a lot of times when it comes to workplaces or, you know, apartment communities, it's someone saying, hey, I'm getting an electric car. Where do I charge it? Yeah. Where do I plug in? And so when you do start seeing charging stations around, I mean, most people do charge at home, but when you do start seeing charging stations around, especially in public, it does give you the confidence that you'll be able to get where you need to go and have enough fuel to get there.
Do you think we're at that point yet, or we're still getting there in terms of having sufficient charge?
I think we're definitely getting there. I think we do have a long way to go. Currently where I live, it's in a bit of a public charging station desert in this, my particular community. So a lot of us that drive electric cars, as you know, we use the app called PlugShare, and it'll show you where you are and where the closest public charging station is. And it's very interesting when you start seeing these holes, if you will, these donut holes in a particular region as to why isn't there charging? Why isn't there public charging there? And what are some of the reasons behind that? So
I would have assumed that the charging deserts, I've just heard that term recently. You used but I would just say that we've all heard of food deserts where there's no supermarkets, but uh-huh. No charging desert where there's no chargers. But I assume that would be more urban, low income neighborhoods. But is that not the case?
Yeah, I think it's also in more suburban communities. Your low income can be correct. We were seeing that, especially in the San Diego region. We were starting to see, in some of our low income communities or underserved communities that was happening. And we did make a concerted effort to have charging installed there because, again, it's the same thing, whether you're in an underserved community or not. If you don't see chargers around, you're it's not top of mind. You're not going to adopt an electric vehicle because you're thinking, well, I don't have many places to charge it. So
part of the job then at San Diego Gas and Electric was figuring out where those holes were, right?
Exactly. And every state is actually struggling with this now is, you know, where can we get charging station installed quickly? We want to see our adoption rates improve significantly. And I also think what's fascinating is even for those states that don't have as strong a policies as like a California, there's many states in the Northeast that have strong policies. There's many states in the Northwest that have strong policies. Even if you're in a state that doesn't have a strong policy, the utilities are still thinking that through, or the counties are thinking that through, or the cities are thinking that through as to, you know, electric vehicles are coming and are we prepared yet?
Yeah. And just to add to that a little bit, I mean, what do you think utilities are expecting in terms of, let's just say they're, you know, right now they're 100% of their load. Now, if their vehicles in their service territory electrify, does that go to 150% of their load? Does that double their load? I mean, I know it probably depends, but what's your sort of answer to that question?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the key focus that many utilities are thinking about. And an answer to that really is something like a time of use rate. You want to incentivize drivers to charge or fleets to charge their electric vehicles during the times of day when there's the most capacity on the grid. And oftentimes that's at night. And so if you program your car, I mean, I can plug my car in at noon, but it's not going to start charging until 9 o'clock at night. So anyone can program their cars to do that. And when you incentivize drivers, you necessarily don't have to put in a lot more pipes and wires. You can use the grid that you have in areas where you do already have that support. But there are a lot of rural areas, for example, where they don't have the infrastructure right now to, you know, support a large scale adoption. And so what do they do? I mean, some of those options now are, you know, doing a time of use rate, but we also have microgrids, there's battery storage, there's all different types of things. And so I think it's, the answer is it does need to be a holistic view. It's not just going to be one thing is not the answer. And so I think, you know, renewable energy, that's going to be key, especially.
And you quickly get, and I know that you've got a colleague who you work with at your company, S-Curves, who's an engineer. You quickly get into electrical engineering and how.
Right, exactly.
On the distribution grid. Let's talk a little bit about your transition. Oh, you, how long were you at San Diego Gas and Electric or Sempra's?
About 11 years.
What prompted you to start your own thing in 2000? What, that's 6 years ago.
Yeah.
What was the motivation for that?
I was getting so many calls from other utilities and saying, hey, April, we want to do exactly what you're doing. Will you teach us? And I thought, by the, you know, 15th, 16th, 17th, 20th, 25th call, it's like, ding, 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 ding. So I went and I actually, I met with my CEO for Sempra Energy and then the CEO for SDG&E. And they're like, well, we don't understand. Just do that, but just keep doing it here. Just stay here. And I thought, no, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna do this. And a lot of people, like I said, just thought I was nuts because how are you gonna build a business on transportation electrification alone? But they just didn't see, they weren't hearing the same things I was hearing. They weren't seeing the same things that I was seeing as far as potential market trends in this area. And then who would have thought that we'd, you know, have the investments that we're having now.
Yeah. Who was the first client when you started out?
Let's see. So who was my first client? Probably the California Electric Transportation Coalition was one of them, helping them on with some of their policies because they had automakers and utilities as part of their membership. And so, you know, how can we influence the state of California to adopt transportation electrification policies, stronger policies?
Well, that's great. And so if you had to, and then I always like to ask people, what's your most exciting project so far with S-Curves?
Yeah, I think I have two exciting projects. One is in Clark County, Nevada, and it's for the county. And that's helping them with their regional transportation electrification plan. So over the last year, we've been gathering stakeholders, which includes all of their cities, all their trade organizations, like building organizations, single family homes, all the way to industrial, to commercial, to the resort community, to nonprofits, you name it, and developing a whole plan around transportation electrification. So setting a baseline for where they're at now, how many electric vehicles do they have? How many charging stations do they have? And where does the state want them to be? Well, the state has a plan for net zero by 2050. So if we do that and we transition all of our transportations to net zero, how are we gonna get there? What are the milestones gonna be, need to be, as we're working towards that? So that was really exciting. And then also working with their fleet of 2,400 vehicles, the county's fleet, to electrify as well.
Yeah.
So that's one good one.
It certainly sounds like you like facilitating. Because
yeah.
you bring all these stakeholders, you got to keep everybody enthusiastic and yet tough reaching consensus always with groups of people.
Well, exactly. And I think what was probably some of the most exciting parts of that is helping to raise everyone's acumen when it comes to transportation electrification. Because when you bring together such a diverse group of stakeholders, you can't expect everyone to know everything about transportation electrification. So we started from EV 101, charging 101. We got into, you know, best practices around charging installations for multifamily communities, charging installations for public. What are some of the business models around charging? How do you, what are some of the rates? How do those work? You know, what is the utility doing to help the region? What are some of the best practices around building codes? So, all different types of areas to get into there.
So it's really, again, you have the most fascinating job. I want to quickly ask you three questions that I've been that
sure.
I
sure.
Do the EV electric or do the electric transportation advocates like yourself, do they ever speak to the building decarbonization people, or is that just sort of a, because these two huge waves, right, of electrifying mobility.
So true.
The electrifying buildings. I'm not saying good or bad that they do or don't speak. I'm curious whether they're really in separate camps.
I think that they're, it's, in general, I think it's the same camp, me personally. But I think on the transportation side that it's such a niche that you do have specifically transportation electrification experts, but it does really all roll up too, because when you are installing charging infrastructure, you're installing it next to a building, right? And so it really is the same ecosystem. And transportation electrification, I mean, you know, in many states, transportation is the one that's producing the most emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, other types of emissions. For some regions, Clark County, for example, it's buildings that are producing the most emissions, and transportation is second. And so it is, it's going to be beneficial to all of us to work hand in hand with that. And also when it comes to building codes. So, you know, the building community doesn't like to talk about having codes implemented, but there are many cities, states, counties that are looking at building codes. So for new buildings, the requirement of EV charging. And so you can't get more linked when you are talking about building codes, especially for charging infrastructure.
It's a good answer to an unfair question.
No, I like the question because it's, question, you know, number, it's true.
Question number two, this could be very quick. Is hydrogen just sort of a thing of the past in terms of for mobility?
It hasn't been such a huge focus in the mainstream. I think, though, when you look at it from an investment standpoint, is there's a lot of money being put in hydrogen. Maybe not as much as transportation electrification, but there are use cases for hydrogen, especially when you're talking about long haul vehicles, where that could be more beneficial. I think it's just when it does come to hydrogen, it's, you know, people throw around, is it green? Is it not? Is it, you know, but when you're strictly talking about the use case, there are use cases for it for sure.
Yeah, good. Again, a good answer. And I remember, I mean, it wasn't that many years ago when we were all fired up about the hydrogen highway in California. You know, you're going to be able to.
Yeah.
It was a big, a lot of PR around, a little big push. And then it certainly seems like what I call the lithium revolution sort of took place and took over. And of course, we're enjoying its functionality. One other quick question is before I wrap up with you, but is, battery swapping. Obviously, I say there's a lot of choice now of EVs available. There's in all different price ranges now. It's pretty easy to get an EV. The range is still the limiting factor. If our cars are getting around 230, 240. If you want to get up into the 400 mile range, you have to pay a really steep premium. So there are these battery swapping programs. It's always seemed kind of intriguing to me that you could sort of pull up to a gas, quote unquote, gas station or a charging station and just pull out your batteries and pop in a new battery. And in 30 seconds, you could have another 250 miles of range. Is that just sort of Fruit Loops, do you think, or is that a possibility?
Well, it's definitely been talked about a lot, especially in the very beginning of the industry. A lot of things will have to happen and be put in place for us to be able to do that, which means the automakers will have to allow it and not have you to basically null and void your warranty, right? The vehicles have to be made so that they can do that easily. It's not very easy now. But I just think about it too from my own perspective as a driver, as to I know how I treat my car and I know how I treat my battery, which is really well. I don't know that I want to risk getting, you know, maybe a battery that's not so good. However, I think that there is room in the industry for all technologies, all business types, and all business models. And I think we, you know, seeing how that plays out, I would love to see if that were to get up and running and we were able to make that work. Great, because it's one option for people that maybe would use that service. I'm not sure that I would, but I'm sure there are others that would, for sure.
Maybe its best application is with fleets, you know, like metro buses.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That sort of common ownership.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You sound like you've got a great thing going. You look happy. How would I always ask this to people that are succeeding in their careers, but how do you maintain a balance in your life?
Oh, let's see. I love riding my electric bike. I love traveling. I'll be heading over to the Caribbean in a week, going on a sailing trip there. So, and I also have a good core group of women business owners that I see probably on a weekly basis. And it's amazing how much community can benefit you and uplift you. And, you know, you're an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur. And it's great when you can get in those circles and really just, you know, start talking about either trends in your own business or just trends in, you know, as us as entrepreneurs, and how are we succeeding and what are some of the tips and tricks and, you know, ways to be more successful.
It's great. You've got that. Well, listen, thanks so much for what you're doing with EV adoption. Thanks for sharing all these insights.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll have a wonderful trip, but it's great to see you, April.
You too. You too. Thank you so much. And keep doing what you're doing.
Will do. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Thanks. We'll see you. Bye.
That's it. Thanks for listening to Flanagan's Ecologic. We'll see you next time.